A special shout out to our sponsors, the Trust Restaurant Group of San Diego. We're now fully open for business. We're ready to serve you at our flagship restaurant, Trust, Rare Society, Cardellino, and Fort Oak. Executive chef and co-owner Brad Wise wants to share his love of good eats with our San Diego community. Chef Brad uses locally sourced ingredients that change with the season. Trust staff's aim is to provide their patrons with great food, cocktails, wine, and service. We invite you to come to any of our fine restaurants for a meal of a lifetime. In good food, we trust. Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome to another episode of Quick Tap Rugby Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. Like always, I'm joined by my favorite rugby player, one of my close friends, MLL star, San Diego Legion star, USA rugby player, the man, the myth, the legend, Nate Augsburger, baby. What's happening, man? let's clap him in.
Hey, that was a good one. Thanks, CJ. Glad to be here, man.
I'm glad to have you, brother. And also joining us, our favorite chef, the celebrity chef, host of the Chef Rock Show, does all kinds of amazing things. He has his own line of, Chef Rock Nuts.
Chef Rock. I got Chef Rock Nuts right in my pocket.
What's happening, my brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Welcome to another fun episode. Yeah, this is great stuff. Nate Dogg. How you doing, brother?
Listen, Chef, man. Hey. It's good to see you.
Intros to me, brother, DJ, because that what you were doing wasn't working. So listen, Nate.
What's up?
Last week, I talked about the ending of the season coming to a close, winning the last two games. You're off to a good start. You won the last one last week. This past week, you played great, man. Give me some feedback. How you feeling? How you feel about the game? How you feel about the team? How you feel about your teammates? Just talk to me, brother. Give me the lowdown.
I'll give you the lowdown. And I think, you know, first off, there's just something about us playing in Chula Vista that's worked out. Not sure what it is. We were able to have our loved ones there. Family was at the game, so that was good. But we weren't allowed to have fans because obviously we got to be respectful of the athletes that are going to Tokyo here in the next couple weeks.
Right.
But there's just something about that field where we've been able to turn up and put together some decent performances. I think our first 40 was definitely really strong. We went into the half 31-7, and we were feeling really good. And, you know, we had leadership all across the board. And then in the second half, we got a little loose on our discipline, some things that hurt us, some things that shouldn't have hurt us, but calls that we wish would have gone our way or at least, you know, hold on to the whistle a little bit would have helped us. But long story short, we got a rivalry with Seattle. We knew they'd bite back a little bit, which they did. And I was just glad to watch our team just put together a performance we could be proud of and carrying that into our last game of the season, which is against Old Glory in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
Yeah, you're not going to get every call anyway. So that's why it's always a play super well and be ready for anything, man. So yeah, it was a exciting win. It was good to watch, man. And I'm happy for the team. I'm super excited for the game coming up this week. And so our guest this week is your teammate, man. Introduce him.
Yeah,
let's
actually
talk about him. Get knowing
someone that I would have revealed in the previous question, but I didn't because I wanted to hold on to him. We got Patty Ryan with us.
What's up?
Patty, what's going on, man? Good to see you.
G'day, lads. Thanks for having me.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
I'm not going to try.
Hey, yeah, mate.
Come on. We do it all the time. We talk Irish every morning.
Hey, that's between you and I. Right? I ain't going to put it out there to the world.
Patty, you're not Irish, are you?
I ain't trying to make a fool of myself.
No, that's all right, laddie. Don't worry about the thing. So, Patty, where are you from?
I'm from Australia, but Australians, much like Americans, we're a bit of a mix of everything. So my name's very Irish, but my mum's from Holland. So a bit all over. And grew up in Australia, hence that accent and the g'day mate. And yeah, very happy to be here. Very happy to be on the pod.
And hence a happy guy with a beer in his hand. Patty, nice. Patty, I'll just say, you know, this guy's got a really big rugby pedigree. Most of us know about it. Yeah, over 100 caps for the Waratahs. Plays in Japan as well in the top league, which is a great competition for the Sonics Blues. And Patty was with us in 2019. He's been with us all for majority of this season. Patty, my question to you is, which direction is the MLR competition going?
Yeah, it's tracking up, and I think it's really heading in the right direction. I think I think the expansion teams have been a real success this year for the whole competition. So I think particularly, you know, LA, I think they've really lifted the benchmark in a lot of ways. They've brought in some pretty well-known players, and they've had success with it, but they've also had success with bringing up-and-coming American players through, where you can see what is America gaining out of having a guy like Matt Giteau here, or Adam Ashley Cooper, or Dave Dennis. Well, a guy like Ryan James thrives, you know, a guy that was once at San Diego is now up at LA, and proves how good he is. So I think the competition is tracking pretty quickly up and in the right direction. And I think it's all gearing towards 2031 USA World Cup. And I think that's the way it should go. That'll be 13, 14 years of MLR by then. And America will have a real show.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I agree, man. I agree. I got a question that actually came up. Me and Robbo were talking about it. Do you think MLR should focus on getting more teams in the comp, or do you think we should be fostering kind of the teams that are in the league now?
I think I think you could bring them in. I mean, you can learn because of the model. The model of the MLR is like American sport, but it is rugby. It's not modeled like rugby. Rest of the world, where perhaps home unions will own franchises that play in a professional league, and splitting money, blah, 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 can be complicated and is often argued about. The way the MLR works is that the owners own the teams, and they therefore own their portion of the league, and they make decisions based on the sport and the business. And I think that's the right model. So if expansion is the way to go, I think it's good. You know, it's putting money in the coffers of the competition because license prices increase, and which is going to be money back into the game. And that's what we want to see. So, yeah, I think expansion's right. If it, you know, I don't think we're not ready for 20 teams. We don't have the, we probably don't have enough American, like quality American players to go around that yet. But, you know, there's no reason we can't be bringing in 2-3 teams every 2-3 years. I really don't see an issue with that. Because I think that's good for the game. I think that's why this model is going to succeed and succeed more quickly than other professional leagues have.
Well, Patty, do you feel that the way they do it over in Europe and in Asia, where they have the underling teams, you know, that grow up in the game, but then move all the way up to the positions that you guys are playing now, where in, you know, some baseball, like baseball here, they have AAA and they have guys that get put down or brought back up to play in the major league. Do you feel that that's needed here at all?
Well, that's the only way I've ever known rugby. So I don't. The whole American thing's a bit funny to me. And I haven't heard the lower grades called underling grades before either. So that might be a bit American thing. I don't know how they feel about that. But I think.
Yeah, my name's CJ, by the way. Yeah, you come and get my butt.
Yeah, I'm coming for you, CJ. I think there's always a place for that. I mean, in Australia, like it's not uncommon to have, even in Super Rugby, to have a women's game of the, like, I played for the Waratahs in Super Rugby, so to have the female Waratahs there to play a doubleheader with us isn't uncommon. I think that's an avenue that the MLR can go down. And then I also think the idea of academies and teams, whatever term you want to use, they're a good they're a good idea as well, because that's just going to grow the game. And the more guys play, the better it is. So I think particularly for like some of our guys, for instance, like the guy that springs to mind for me because it's easy is Aaron Mitchell. He's a guy with immense talent and immense potential, just needs to play more. And it's hard to kind of play in the pressures of the competition. And with injury or whatever, he only gets the opportunity to play sort of 18, 19 games a year. But if he's playing more, he's better at rugby. You know, he just needs time in the saddle. So that's kind of what you want. You want more people, more of those guys in the MLR who aren't playing as many minutes during the actual competition. You want them to be getting more game time.
Yeah. I'll second that too, Pad, because as our season closes up, right, we got USA test matches in early September and in early October, and then there'll be another window in November. So a big part of my commitment is going to be to being ready and being accessible for those teams. Now, I'm a bit older. I'm 31. But at the same time, if I needed to get game time, I think I'll name off some of the options that I know to my knowledge right now. Club sevens, which is men's club level, you know, amateur, not a super high level, but a place where you can get games. And then right now, I think it's the World 10 Series, which is a completely new format. It's a different style of rugby, completely new format. And that would be another place where I could get games. Outside of that, I don't think men's 15s club rugby even starts until probably September, October is when their fall season throughout the country will start. So that, so Patty's highlighted, you know, a great point, Pat, is that, you know, once this is done, and I'm a perfect example, I've gotten, you know, 3.5, about to be 4 games because of injury. How do we get a guy like Nate or a young guy the type of experience that he's going to need so that he can be prepared for those international matches, so that he can be prepared for the next season and come out firing and playing better? So I think it's a great point, Pad. Really good point.
Patty, so like many players who play in the United States in basketball, football, and baseball, they have aspirations of owning a team or being part of, you know, ownership, and they never get a chance because the leagues are so expensive and so out of reach. It, you know, playing, all the experience you had around the world, was something you like to do, maybe invest into an MLR team when your playing days are over, to, you know, as an owner and become part of it? Because you just talked about how the league is kind of exciting and growing and stuff, and you know, the World Cup coming hopefully one day soon and stuff like that. So, you know, is that something you might want to do?
I mean, it's not really something we think about too much in Australia, to be honest, DJ.
Right.
Never given it any thought.
That's what we do around here, man.
Would I put my money where my mouth is?
Huh?
I suppose, yeah. Would I put my money where my mouth is to back the league to be in a better position in 10, 12 years, or 10 years, say? So end of 2031, after the World Cup's been in the States. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd put my money where my mouth is. I'd put money on it for sure, because I just think it's a little bit different. There's something that can feel more accessible to some people that like sports in rugby, and I just really like the concepts of the owners, like such as successful businessmen and women and entrepreneurs. They're owning the teams. They know how to kind of get the job done with the success of a business, and they own the league and they own the teams. I think that's a great recipe.
No, that's awesome, because one of the things I've liked about doing this podcast, you know, is learning more about rugby and exposing people to rugby. And I talk to young people all the time, especially young African-American kids, like, you got to watch my podcast, check this podcast out. Man, rugby, that's not basketball, it's not football. But listen, bro, you can learn a sport, try something new. And one of the things that, you know, that Nate and I do outside of here, we want to do some stuff to even get more exposure to American rugby, to young kids and stuff like that, to expand the league. And I think the league has great potential. I think it has a great opportunity to grow. And even more, like you said, 2 or 3 new franchises every year might not be a bad thing, because it gives other communities an opportunity to see firsthand and go see a rugby game. When you actually physically go watch a game, it's super exciting. I mean, for me, I'm so used to watching guys with helmets and pads on running each other that I see someone like Nate, and I'm not, Nate, this is not no disrespect. Nate's a smaller, stocky guy, But he levels people, man. He goes after people and without any helmets on. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing that. So I think it's exciting for people to watch rugby, especially the MLR. I love watching Nate play because he's super excited. You know what I mean? Super exciting. He wanted to put his head in there and get hurt. I know his wife's mad all the time. He comes home with a scrape on that face. You know what I'm saying? She was like, baby, stop. Stop. You know what I'm saying?
But he puts his head in there anyway. You're leading into actually a great question because Patty understands what it means to be in the engine room and be a front rower. And Patty, do you have anything you can share for maybe a future player or even for these guys? Just what does it mean to be a front rower?
We'll do that. I think if we were describing Nate as a golfer, if we're describing his rugby style or certainly his defensive style, you'd call him a burglar. You know, you think like he's a guy with a, he's the kind of guy you think might have a high handicap, might not actually be good. He's small on the field. You think, oh, I can run over this bloke or I'm going to get on top of him. And then bang, from nowhere, just absolutely smashes you. So he just leads you down the garden path. And you think you're going to, oh, maybe I'll run at this guy a bit easier. That well, never works that well.
Nate, I saw a game where the scrum had broken. Some guys started pushing around. Some big guy bumped into you. And you got right up into his face, and you were looking up at him like this, and you were going to push him. And that big guy, you backed down.
That's because I got guys like Patty. Patty's got my back. I'm all good.
Oh no, it was all you, brother. I know Patty got your back, but that was all you.
Big CC.
You gotta change your name from Nate Doug. Guys, now I know we've been talking about where can we get the players of the future of the MLR. Has there been any talks of trying to recruit like the same way the NFL does it with college players? I don't know how many college teams out there. We've had a few guys on that played U.S. college rugby, but I mean, to me, that would be the place to do it. You have a lot of athletes there. They're young. That could be the next step up. But I don't think they do that, do they?
Hey, Patty, before you answer that question, Chef Rock's been doing this podcast for a while. He should know the answer to that, but I think he's just trying to give you a question to answer. But, you know,
I don't know that.
Come on, man.
How do I know that answer?
That was worse than your first question, brother. I'm just going to let you know.
I'm not that smart, Louis.
But go ahead, Pat. I'll let you answer that question.
Let me answer the question, CJ.
Well, I think university rugby always has a role in rugby. It's like way back in our history, university and rugby, they're very intertwined. They're synonymous, you know, and I think that's why we've got some of the East Coast universities, some of the world's most famous universities. Whilst their football program might have a lot more money now, I think you find their older program will probably be their rugby program, which probably started. So university and rugby, they're all over the world. And I'm talking all the way through Asia. In Japan, it's huge. I've experienced that firsthand. It's huge in Australia. They should always be in hand. You know, playing sport at university and getting to meet new people is one of the great parts of university. So how does the MLR use that effectively? Well, you know, I think we're probably seeing in American sport in the NFL and the NBA with what the NCAA has done over the last few weeks in allowing image rights and things like that. So I think that system's going to change a little bit as well. And I think that rugby could maybe align a few things like it. I don't have an issue if a guy's good enough to play in the NLR and he's in his freshman or sophomore year at university and he chooses to play in the MLR while studying. I don't really mind. I mean, it'd be pretty hard to be a professional footballer and go to an American college, I'm sure. But in terms of hypothetically, I don't mind if the guy's taking classes, playing with us, if he's good enough. There's no issue there. I think that there definitely has to be a relationship between rugby, university, and the MLR. They're all very
good. Good answer, Patty.
It's a great answer.
I think that's good. You're just tearing that up.
Good answer, but a terrible question.
It's a good topic.
Thanks, Chef.
Get off my back.
It's a good topic. I mean, we do have the MLR collegiate draft is something that's real. It's something that happened before this past season. So I think they're trying to make that connection between, like, as Patty would call it, university or collegiate and MLR.
Right.
The big thing is, or at least in Southern California, is kids can play rugby almost 9 months, 10 months out of the year here in Southern California, which is great. But they kind of have to pick and choose whether they're going to play club rugby, which is maybe a little bit more expensive, but a lot more access and facilities, and there's a bigger competition. Or they can choose to play with their school, which there's a limited amount of schools who actually have a high school rugby program that counts towards their academics. And I think when you size up American sports on as a whole, you're looking at, I want my rugby to have a say on my application for college. So you might want to be pushing for rugby to be that sport at your high school. So you can use that, you know, use the lettering, use that captaincy, use whatever it might be, your accolades to help you get to the next step. Where club rugby is it's club rugby. That's why I grew up playing. It had no real impact on me going to college. But obviously, once I got to college, I joined another club and was able to play, which was the best thing I could have ever done as part of a rugby team through university. It was great.
So. That's awesome. So Patty, we give everybody come on this show. That's what the purpose of this podcast is, to get people and the fans of the San Diego Legion, your fans around the world and your fans here in San Diego, a chance to know you a little bit better. Hey, where you want to be in the next 5 years as an athlete?
As an athlete, well, 37, I'll probably be retired if I'm going to be honest. By then, hopefully I'll have an MLR shield. So I think the next 5 years, or at least be a part of one.
Nice.
I think it just really feels like there's unfinished business here. And it has for, well, at least 3 years. That's something I'm pretty keen to be a part of. I love San Diego. I love playing with guys like Nate. That's what I hope.
Hey, you don't want to talk about yourself, so I'll give you this opportunity to talk about Nate since we're on the show with him. You know what I'm saying? So, no, go ahead. Give us some insight that we don't know about Nate. Give us something.
I don't know. I don't think Nate's the kind of guy where you. I don't know. I really feel like what you see is what you get. He's just an massive energy, great for a group, not afraid to have a hard conversation, but also a good man to have around for, you know, for joking. And yeah, Nate's the kind of guy you love coming as a person that, you know, comes from a different country, coming to America and playing with guys like Nate. That's why you do it.
You
meet guys like that. Same as Otti and so many of the guys you've had on the podcast. You know, that's a great thing about the Legion and probably about most of the teams in the MLR, all of them probably, is you just meet these great blokes, these great rugby men, and you get to make these memories with them. It's great fun.
That's great.
At the end of that, well, Nate, dog, you are a good dog. Man. You're a good man.
Hey, thanks, Chef. It's a two-way street, man. I don't know what it is about Patty. It's just an easy person to give the ball or what, but he's an easy guy to step on the field with. I feel like I've played with him way longer than however many games we've gotten to suit up together. So we keep the good times rolling this weekend, eh, Pat?
That's right.
Yeah.
So you're super excited for this weekend's the season finale? Are you ready for it?
Oh, Washington is one of the few places in the States I've been before I came here in 2019. And I spent a week there. And it's one of the greatest cities in the world, you know, in terms of just what it is. Yeah. So we're going to, I'm going to love going up there. That's what you want. That's one of the great things about the game.
Yeah. Getting to travel.
Yeah.
Well, cities,
great seafood. And
you get a chance to try and beat the team from there in their hometown.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's right. I look forward to seeing the game, man. And so you know what, Nate? Here's the thing. I'm gonna say something that I don't get a chance to say that often, man. Is that when we first met, you know, we met on the radio show that we had on ESPN, and when you came into the room, small in stature but big in personality and energy, you walked into the room and you took the room over, man. And we appreciated that. And we fell in love with you at the moment we met and you started talking with you. Now, obviously, we fell in love with you in a brotherhood kind of way, just so you know. It's amazing to actually do this podcast with you and learn a lot about some of your teammates, learn about the San Diego Legion, how you guys operate. Because part of the thing that is as good for the community to know is what's inside the team. You know, the team, you know, everybody see you on the field, you play hard, whether you win or lose, you still come together after the match, you hug each other, you talk to each other, and then you hang around each other. And then we have guys come on the podcast, they always talk good and highly of you. So, you know, it's a blessing that, and I don't get an opportunity to say this to you much, man, but I really do respect you and enjoy working with you, my brother. And by the way, you don't have to say nothing back, bro, because I don't need you to. I just wanted to put that out there to the universe for you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, Chef appreciates you the same way you appreciate me. And he actually notified me that today is kind of a special day.
Oh, it's a special day.
A special day.
Happy birthday to you.
Isn't that my birthday?
To you. Yes, it is.
Happy birthday, CJ.
So listen.
Happy birthday to you.
Here's the problem. We didn't give Chef Rock an opportunity to do the Chef Rock stories, so he made up a story. My birthday's not to July 13th, man.
So you made up a story.
So I appreciate your birthday.
I appreciate your birthday song.
But
I just wanted to sing.
You made a fool of yourself, homie.
I just wanted to sing.
Listen, don't ever listen to Chef Rock on those kind of things, brother.
No, come on. Well, you know what? You know what time of it? It's the time in the show where I thank our sponsor, okay?
That's good.
Hey, you guys probably know this, that the Trust Restaurant Group is a collection of four restaurants here in San Diego that are incredible. You know, the restaurant organizations in San Diego, all over the U.S., are hit real hard with COVID. They need your support. Chef Brad Wise is part co-owner in a lot of these restaurants. They are unbelievable. You got to see the menus that this guy has put together. I really recommend, if you want to go out for a great meal, they got four great restaurants here in San Diego, the Cortolino Cafe, Fort Oak, Rare Society, and the Trust Restaurant. Get out there. Like they always say, food we trust. Support your local restaurants, and they're supporting us. So we want to thank them very much. And that's all I got to say.
If you watch the show as a podcast, you said, so you know this is coming. We always give the guests an opportunity to give some advice to young people.
Exactly.
Say some positive things about Rugby or to the community. So this is your opportunity, my man. Speak your heart. Speak your truth.
If you're a young kid in America and you want to play rugby or you love rugby, I think you do as a kid trying to get better. But I think the best thing about being a kid is that you can just play. You just play every day. It doesn't really matter. So just play as much rugby, as much sport as you can, and enjoy it. It's great fun.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's been our pleasure to get to know you and also learning something more about, you know, Nate's teammates and his friends and his colleagues and San Diego Legion, my man. So we always say quick tap out, my brothers. Thank you very much, Nate.
Tap out.
Thanks, always Patty. Love you. Chef Rock, love you.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Patty.
Thanks, Patty.
Take care. Thank you.